Welcome to Pearls of Wisdom. This is a place where we dig deep into the scriptures. We look for guidance from the Word of God, because that's the greatest place of wisdom.
Well, it is a beautiful Monday afternoon and just in time for us to have another installment of Pearls of Wisdom with Dr. Paul Coupe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, C, and good afternoon all our listeners who are out there. We just pray that you and your households are doing so well.
It is always good having you on the show, Mama Pearl. Thank you so much for coming again.
It's my honor.
We laid a foundation, a powerful foundation last week.
Right.
On false accusation.
Right.
Yeah. You continuing on that one?
We're continuing on that. It's going to be a three-part series. And I really wanted to spend some time on this one because I don't think there's anybody, any child of God, anybody who can ever say they've never been falsely accused.
Yep.
I mean, that's part of the journey, part of the walk. And, you know, I was actually thinking yesterday when I was on my Facebook and I wanted to do a post that said that trials and tribulations are part of our journey. They're part of our walk.
Mm.
What's different? The difference is how you respond to those trials and tribulations. So that's what makes the difference between, as they say, boys and men. So that's the distinguisher. That's the fine line there.
Sure.
So we all going to go through it.
Yeah.
But how you respond is very important.
Yeah.
And that is the same thing with false accusation. Everybody, every single person in their lifetime, you know, and not even just once, but several times, is going to undergo this whole thing around false accusation. The question is, how we deal with it. And, you know, that's how we introduced it initially. So I want to go ahead and share more principles around how are we supposed to respond?
Yeah.
How do we respond to false accusation? Because the question is not, are you going to be falsely accused?
That's already a given.
Yeah, that's a done deal. Mm. You are. And like I said, not once, but several times.
Hard pill to swallow.
So the sooner you find a way in responding to it, the better. Because it's going to come a few times. So you have to have a template. And the Bible gives us that template.
Mm.
We see examples of people, you know, who have been falsely accused. People like Joseph, who ended up even in prison because of false accusation. So this is the first principle I want to talk about today, is the aspect of do not repay evil for evil. Yeah, because I'm seeing a little bit of a trend amongst us believers where I don't know if you've heard of these so-called back to sender prayers. Yeah. You know, and they concern me a little bit because I don't see the heart of Christianity. I see us developing templates for revenge and people praying prayers to kill people, etc.
Sure.
And I'm asking myself, what is that thing which distinguishes us from other faiths?
Mm.
You know, because our God, yes, our God does judge, there's judgment, etc.
Yeah.
But ultimately, John 3:16.
Yeah.
You know, for God so loved the world, must be really what drives us.
Sure.
So the first thing I want to say is, you know, it's Jesus who said, love your enemies and pray for them. And listen, that's like on the hard list and the hard level, that is probably number one. That's really hard.
Such a teacher of humility, that one.
I'm
telling you. It will teach you real humility.
It will teach you humility. It's not easy to love your enemies and to pray for them. I mean, separately, the two of them, it's just like almost, that's when you'll know, umzalwane, you're saved. If you can do that, you will know. So do not repay evil for evil. In fact, I want to give a scripture for that. So 1 Peter 3:9 tells us this. It says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. That means hatred for hatred. But on the contrary, so it's telling you now, do the opposite. On the contrary, it says, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing.
Sure.
So if you and I want blessings, we've got to put that flesh nature down, that carnal nature that wants, you accused me, Lena, you must be falsely accused. Mm. We've got to put that down because we want to operate in that ambit of putting ourselves positionally in a place where we can be blessed. Mm-hmm. And once we start all those revenge and fire and, you know, kill him, you know, and all those kind of prayers, then we're taking ourselves out of that. We're taking ourselves out of the equation. Proverbs 24:29 also says this. It says, "Do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done." So if somebody has falsely accused you, that is not grounds. It's not justification for us to also falsely accuse
others. Amen. Yeah.
So that's the one that I wanted to focus on today. If somebody has accused you falsely, you know, just be that godly person, determined to be that person.
Amen.
Who will not repay evil for evil.
Sure.
Be intentional about not because they've spoiled my reputation, I'm going to spoil their reputation.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
Just be very focused on just allowing God to vindicate you.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
That's when you leave room for God to do what
Absolutely.
He has to do.
And that's the principle. Yeah. Second principle I wanted us to discuss as well. So the what not to do is we don't repay evil for evil.
Yes.
The what to do is we allow God.
Amen.
God to vindicate you. Because one of his names, as we know, is Jehovah El Mishpat, which means God of justice. So he who sees everything is the best vindicator. And I've had to learn that. I mean, I've really, because as a lawyer, you know, I've been a lawyer for over 40 years now, and the temptation to want to vindicate myself.
Yep.
And, you know, rush to and say, no, but this is unfair. The temptation is often there. And God just often tells me, be quiet. Mm-hmm. I will vindicate. And one thing I discovered is when God vindicates you, woo, sure. I'm telling you, it's not, as they say in Nigeria, it no be small thing, oh. It no be small, small vindication.
Yeah, yeah.
He does it big. Yeah. He will do it publicly, and he will make sure that, you know, you are properly vindicated. And so that is something we must allow God to do. I've tried sometimes to be my own advocate.
Yeah.
But Ooh. At times, when God tells me, be quiet, I'll vindicate
yes.
you, I will be.
Yeah.
Sometimes he will tell me, you know, I want you to do A, B, C, D, but allow God, who is, his name is justice, allow him to vindicate you because he sits on a throne of vindication.
Amen.
You know, Psalms 97:2 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And that's also in Psalm 89:14 repeated. So in other words, he's a king of vindication.
Amen.
Because his throne is established in justice.
Yeah.
He knows how to best vindicate us. So he'll fight for us.
Yeah.
Just stay chilled, stay calm. Mm-hmm. Because when you start getting anxious and stressful and upset, that's when we normally make wrong decisions and we take wrong choices. So he will vindicate us. I want to also read and close off for today. 1 Peter 3 verse 16 says this. It says, having a good conscience,
yeah.
so that when you are slandered, and that's a legal term we use, slander, you
yeah.
know, is talking about when, you know, somebody has talked badly about
you. They drag you.
Yes, we talk about libel and slander, and one has to do with defamation, where you're defamed verbally, and one has to do with where you're defamed in writing. So it's libel and slander. So it says, when you are slandered, it says, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered. Now note, it says when, not if, when. So that's why I'm saying it's a given.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. When you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So that's it. So number one, you're going to be slandered. Number two, when it comes, let your good behavior remain in good behavior. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't try to retaliate, but remain good behavior. Remain prayerful. Pray for your enemies. Pray, you know, love them. And it's your good behavior that is now going to cause Christ to put them to shame because he's going to vindicate you. So, but if you do bad behavior, you're closing the door. You're closing the door to because you've taken the matter into your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
So you're shutting the possibility for Yeshua, Christ, to actually vindicate you and do all that. 1 Peter 2:19 also says, for God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and patiently endure unfair treatment. Patiently endure unfair treatment. So, yeah. So anybody out there, you're undergoing false accusation. I know the temptation to trumpet it on social media, everywhere and platform, and to try and vindicate yourself. Mm-hmm. I know it. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt in size extra large. Nuchal, yes. So I'm saying, hang in there. Take a chill pill. Relax, chillax. Yeah. Chill out and relax.
And let God fight for you.
Let God fight for you. Amen.
That was so powerful. Yo, thank you so much, Dr. Pearl.
Thank you.
We'll catch up again next week.
Amen.
Well, it's that time on the show where we get to get into our pearls of wisdom for today. Dr. Pearl Coupe back with us in studio. A very good afternoon. A very warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Z. It's always great to be here on our special Mondays.
Yeah, very special Mondays.
Very special Mondays.
Last week, you came for me. You literally, you were like, you and God sat and you were just like, let me send you to Zintle. Yeah. If that word was for nobody else, it was for me.
Oh,
and I'm
goodness.
So grateful for the encouragement. I think it found me at a place where I sort of was asking God to say, you know, what else do I do? I think I was on the verge of retaliating. Do you know what I'm saying? Where you're like, I'm trying my best to be quiet too.
Yeah.
But I think that word really came just in time to say what not to do and what to do when you've been falsely accused.
Yeah.
And today's part three.
Today's part three. Today we're going to end off the series. And like I said, you know, when we first started our first session, I really felt like there were people out there who were being frustrated because they've been falsely accused, slandered, all of those things. And, you know, they just wanted to retaliate.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so this is it. So, yeah, what to do? What to do? What do we do? We remain steadfast. We remain steadfast in the time of accusation. Remain steadfast. Be sure that you hear God in that. And this is one of the things that's key, because the enemy will come to provoke you. And what you must be very careful to guard is your shalom, is your peace.
Ooh.
Because boy, will he try to put you. Remember, Psalms 91 talks about being a place of a residence. That it's the psalm of protection.
Yes.
And it talks about how we reside, not visit.
Reside.
But some of us just visit. But it's talk about dwelling.
Yeah, yeah.
And to dwelling means you're making God's presence your permanent residence.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm. It's not hanyane. No, today I'm putting my nose in.
Yeah.
So protection comes as a result of dwelling.
Amen.
Which comes as a result of making God and his presence and being in his presence your permanent place of dwelling. So here's the thing, is the enemy can't get to you while you're there. If you've made God's presence under the shadow of his wing, you've made it his permanent abode. He can see you.
Yeah.
But he can't reach you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like licking his lips, you know, his chops like, hey, if only I can get to her. He can see you, but he cannot touch you. It's like that instance, you know, when Job was the enemy wanted to touch Job. And God was bragging on Job. And he said, no, he's you're only bragging on him because, you know,
you protected him.
You're protecting him and you're giving, you're blessing him. And God gave him liberty. He said, okay, you can touch him. But he made a statement to say, I can't touch him because you put a hedge around him.
Yeah.
So in God's presence, there's that hedge of protection. But the minute he can provoke us, with all those taunt us, mock us. Yeah, you see, and this person has done this and they falsely accused you. All that mockery and taunting is to get you out of that place of permanent abode, of residence. Because once you start getting angry, once you start retaliating in kind, then you're getting out of that place of protection. So he does that and he'll keep, you know, provoking us, prodding us, pushing the button to try and make us respond, because he knows once we respond, we get out of that place of vindication where God can actually vindicate us. So, yeah. So remain steadfast in your time of false accusation. Don't allow false accusation to take you out of your place in God, out of your God-ordained destiny. Don't allow it to derail you or distract you in any way. Remember James 1, verses 2 to 3. It says, consider it pure joy. Eesh, another hard one. because just trying to get through it is hard enough. But God says you must consider it a joy when people are attacking you. He says, consider it a joy.
Yeah.
Pure joy, for that matter. Yep. Not just joy, but the highest level of joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Amen.
So there's an outcome and there's a fruit to that. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast, steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life,
Amen.
Which God has promised to those who love them.
That's powerful.
So, yeah, so that's what I want to encourage you. Remain steadfast. Don't allow the devil to patrek you, dribble you, take you out of your place of abode, of rest, of shalom. Don't allow him to irritate, anger you out of there. Your responsibility is to speak the truth.
Amen.
You know, I'm not saying just keep quiet.
Amen.
But speak the truth.
Amen.
Don't go out of your way to humiliate the person who has falsely accused you. Speak the truth if you are required to respond, because sometimes we are required. A question is put to you to say, what do you say? If you're required to respond, there's an obligation for you to respond. Speak the truth and speak it in love.
Yeah.
Because the truth will always defeat lies and it sets free.
Sure.
Proverbs 12:19 says, the truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So speak the truth, not in fighting mode, but in love, and to set the record straight. Not with an agenda to humiliate or to revenge, but with an agenda to set the record straight allow God to vindicate you.
That is so powerful, so straightforward. I think we need nothing about this. You've given us the proper tools, the proper guidance, and obviously from God's word. And that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
That all our actions are based off of what does God say we need to do in those circumstances. So thank you, Dr. Pearl.
Thank
and
you.
We'll catch up again next week.
Always a pleasure.